you started to learn ventriloquism, what did you find out about the natural instincts of the mouth?
I found the mouth completely ungovernable because what it's desperate to do is reflect the meaning of what you're saying, just with expression, and to devolve that and become impassive while your puppet is talking is very, very difficult because it so wants to express what the puppet's saying.
So your puppet is being, as it were, in the usual manner, say, cheeky, saying the unsayable things, the rather rude things that you are disapproving of, and you have to keep your face serenely unaffected by that while the emotions are still in your head for the monkey.
Exactly, that's it. The emotions of the monkey want to be worn on your face. Then you have to go through that phase of looking like a half-wit who's sort of impassive. At least that's better than looking angry while monkey's being angry. But then you have to go one step further and start to act simultaneously, completely differently from those emotions. So laughing, smiling, taking a little interest in what's going over there in the corner, just anything that is separate and disassociated.
Right. And would you say that the disconnect between your facial maxillary muscles, as we must learn to call them, I suppose, and complex as they are, the control of those, the dissociation of those from the feelings that you're projecting through your monkey, is that a harder technique than the one that really puzzles us? The fact that you can say mummy and bottle without your lips meeting.
Yes, that doesn't take very long because you're just using substitute letters for B's and P's and W's and so on.
Although you don't say gottle of gear, do you?
You do, actually, but interestingly, when you're saying gottle of gear, if you think bottle of beer, it sounds better. Mm. And that's an unconscious hardware. I don't understand how that works, but yes, you're forming a substitute pair of lips with the back of your tongue and the soft palate and pushing air through them to make a plosive. But if you're not thinking B while you're saying G, it will always sound like G.
For this disconnect, I suppose mostly it must be a question of practicing how to unlearn what nature has forced into us as humans. That's to say, the relationship between our emotion and the movement of our mouth and the production of our voice and the expression of our emotions.
Yes, it's highly complex, Nina. It is an end of the clear art form. Why are you making it sound so highfalutin? Well, it did take a lot of learning to start to disassociate my own feelings from monkeys, and now she thinks I'm real. Now it's more fluent. I don't know if it's something like being bilingual. Yeah, it's maybe a bit like being bilingual in that you're thinking in two streams at once. But I find it befuddling, and as soon as I start to think about it, it all breaks down, doesn't it, Nina? It's very difficult to think about what I'm doing. It's so much easier just to do it.
Right. So, like a lot of you've gone through the stage of putting the pieces together, like riding a bicycle or more complicated things, and it has become an automated process with you.
Exactly.
And stopping and thinking actually would make you trip over.
Yes, it's true. I'm glad you said that.
And the strange thing is, here I am in the studio, and when it's you talking, I'm looking at your mouth, Nina. And when it's the monkey talking, I'm looking at monkey's mouth talking. That's part of the magic of what it is you do, I suppose.
Yes, it's my mouth that's actually important, isn't it? Not yours. Well, the real, you know, hard audience is to crack at the ones who spend their time staring at my mouth and miss all the fun. But it's actually monkey's mouth that's more important in my act, as long as it's in sync. It's got to be in sync, but it's the misdirection of the monkey's mouth opening and closing once for every syllable. Yes, very importantly, once for every syllable. That's what makes the art form work. Otherwise, it wouldn't. I think if someone doesn't open the cockatoo's mouth in sync, the whole thing falls flat. It does fall rather flat.
That's very good. So are there particular phrases that you practiced on when you were starting? The difficult processes, the difficult plosives and things. Did you have things like Papa has a brand new piano or something like that?
It was really disgusting, Ash. It was who dared put wet fruit bat poo in our dead mummy's bed? Was that you, Verity? And I noticed that you demonstrated that and not me. It was written by Ken Campbell to facilitate all the difficult letters.
Wow. And let's hear Monkey say that.
Who dared to go to a fruit cat coup in our dead mommy's bed? Was that you, Verity?
There you go. Extraordinary.
I don't think it is very good. I think my G's and my P's and everything, they're all a fuddle, but it's just the fluency of it that stops people.
Well, what's
hearing.
Interesting is, I suppose, because we're doing this for a radio programme on speech, people will be listening and they will probably hear the words in a different way to the way that I'm hearing them, because I'm looking at you, eye to eye and mouth to mouth, in both cases, you, Nina, and Monkey. So for me, there's the slight trace of what I believe is called the McGurk effect, which is basically that the eye has primacy of the senses. And if the eye sees what makes sense, it will tell the brain that it has heard what makes sense. And that helps enormously in your act, but probably less on the radio, where the eye has little to do.
It's true. And also that helps with ventriloquism, because there is a theory that ventriloquists throw their voices, and people think that you have made the sound come from elsewhere, but it's because of the supremacy of the eye over the ear that you're not able to direct where the voice is coming from. It's as if there was a siren on a police car, you wouldn't really know for a while where it was coming from. The ear's not good at that.
Yeah.
You need the eye to help.
No, that's very true, isn't it? Very true. Now, we've been told by scientists that the trade-off that nature has given us in our ability to speak with such range, subtlety, fluency, nuance, and so on, is that we are more likely to choke than other animals because of the positioning of our larynx and the nature of our loquacity. Now, you do, like many great vent acts, a glass of water trick. Does that involve more danger to you than it would to others?
Yes, it's very dangerous what you can do it. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. You're not giving it away, are you? Nope. It's a secret that'll die with ventriloquists, the ones that are still alive, that is.
Fair enough. I've got a glass of water here. Would you want to have a try?
On radio? Yeah, go for it.
There you are.
I need some prep.
Okay.
What are you going
we'll
to
give
do
you
now?
Some prep time.
Yeah. Oh, no, Stephen Fry's going to...
I'll turn away. I don't want to keep secrets. I'm very, very, very
okay. All right.
Scrupulous
she's drinking the water now. It's going up to her lips, and there she is. She's drinking it down. You're enjoying that, Nina? Keep on drinking. That's it. Oh, good. Done.
That was brilliant. I had my back turned so as not to see how the trick was done.
I did it in my show as well. There's a little stage management involved.
Right. But you have never choked or anything
No, I've never choked doing it, and I hope never to. It's a sad thing for you humans that you can't talk and eat at the same time without dangerous death.
Yeah. Yes, it does put us rather at a disadvantage when it comes to a banana party. Nina Conti and Monkey Conti, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. What an honour.